Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We have enemies that are fighting against each other that are united in one goal. And that is the destruction of Israel. But can I tell you that Israel will stand? Can I tell you that the persecuted church will continue to move forward and advance God's kingdom? You can't snuff out what is God's. And God won't let it go out. Because there's one who is zealous. One who is zealous for Zion. And I came across this song by Misty Edwards that I want us to listen to. Because it talks about how God is for Israel. Listen up. Nations of the world, listen.
I am zealous for Zion. I am jealous for Jerusalem. I am zealous for Zion. I am jealous for Jerusalem. I am zealous for Zion.
He who never sleeps, never slumbers. Watches over Israel. Nations of the world, listen.
He who touches the apple of my eye. He who touches her touches the apple of my eye. I never change. To what other nation have I attached my name? To what other ground have I change? Oh, you nations all around Jerusalem, oh, the nations that surround, oh, the nations all around Jerusalem, all around, listen, 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 all across the Middle East. He never changes, he never slumbers or sleeps, and you can't change his mind. Even if you try a thousand times,
listen.
He has said it, and he will never, never change. He has set his king, and he will not be denied. Listen, all across Iraq, in Iran, all across the Middle East, all around Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, listen, O Egypt, listen, O Egypt. I am zealous for Zion. I am that I am that I am, and I never change. I am the God of Israel. It's who I am. I am zealous for Zion. Apple of my eye, all across Europe, all across Asia, he who touches her touches the apple of my eye. Listen, O America, he who touches her touches the apple of my eye. I am that I am that I am. I am that I am. To what other nation have I attached my name? To what other ground have I staked my claim? I will not change. No, 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 no.
Cry out and stand with the God who has zeal for Israel. Who will cry out and stand with the God who has zeal for Israel? Who will cry out and stand with the God who has zeal for Israel? We will cry.
stand with the God who has sealed. For Israel we will cry out and stand with the God who has sealed.
Is he who touches her, Israel, touches the apple of my eye.
Who will stand? Who will cry out with a God who has zeal for Israel? Psalms 121 verse 4 says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Let me tell you that God is watching over Israel. And the nations of the world must be put on notice when you mess with the apple of God's eye. You know what the apple of the eye means? Your eye instinctively responds to anything that remotely comes near it. Your eyelashes, they're not for decoration. They're to protect your eye from garbage or anything to fall into, because your eye is very sensitive. Nothing can touch the eye without causing it damage. And yet instantly that your eye is designed that reflectively, that an instant something's about to enter it, it closes shut, it protects itself, and your lashes are like barriers to protect the sensitivity of your eye. You understand that if you go around close to Israel, that God is sensitive about Israel, and if you put your finger anywhere near it, it may not come back. It's time. Israel must be protected, and God is calling out for those who will stand with him, for the one who is zealous for Zion. It's time for the church to arise. It's time for Americans in this country to arise and say that we will stand. We will stand with Israel. We want to share about taking the land. You know, taking the land is so important because God has a place for you. He has something for you to do.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he got something for you to do. And we find that, you know, when God was moving with the Israelites and God was using Moses, God was bringing them, the Israelites, into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. God had a place for them. For them, it was a territory. For you, it could be a ministry, it could be a job, it could be something that just God wants to do. But he was bringing them to a place, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and it was just God was doing it.
Right.
But you know, just because God wants to do something for you, just because God has a plan, doesn't mean that you're going to get it hand-delivered, wrapped up, pretty, paper.
All right.
With a nice little bow on it. You're going to have to do something, right?
Yeah. It's going to require some effort. Yeah.
It's going to require effort. It's going to require faith. It's going to require your act. It's going to require humility. I mean, it's going to require, how we say this, everything.
Yeah.
It's going to require everything.
Yeah. Death to self.
That's right. So in Numbers 13, Moses says, listen, I want you guys to go out there and spy out this land. I want you to explore Canaan. I want you to go through Negev, go into the hill country here. And I want you to tell me what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak or few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? Talking about their walls. How is their soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. And so he's sending them out to spy it out. Go check this place out because God's bringing us there.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends them out and they're gathering all this information because, you know, when God says you do something, you got to put a plan of action together. Now, let me tell you something about putting a plan of action together and developing plans with God, okay? The first thing is that understand that you don't want a plan. We talked about this on yesterday, just so happens.
Yeah.
That starts in the heads of men. You want a plan that starts in the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we're not trying to get God to bless our plans. We're trying to hear God and say, God, what do you want to do? You're the author of this thing. What help me to formulate the plan. And since this is your plan, mm-hmm. I'm going to take each step as you direct, as you lead. And if you feel free at any moment to change, I guess what, you know, since you're the one driving this car, you're the one, you know, the captain of this ship, since mm-hmm. you're the one piloting this plane, whatever you say, God, then I'll do, since this is your plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to get that plan. So they're gathering this information, and then they basically come on back, and in verse 20 through 26 to 33, they begin to start giving a report to Moses on what they saw. And they go into this, you know, long, dreary thing. And they say, we did see the land flowing with milk and honey. And here's the fruit. When in verse 28 of chapter 13 in Numbers, the word God says, but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites live there in Negev. And so then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who got up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And it's like, wait a second. You know, there were people that saw the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
They saw it, but they were looking at it with a different paradigm, with a different pair of glasses. Let me tell you something. No matter what you're looking at, if you have prejudices, if you're have a preconceived mindset of how things need to be or how they're going to see, nothing in the world is going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was in their heart. They were reporting what they were already feeling in their heart.
Right.
I mean, they saw something, and so did Caleb. What's the difference here? They both saw the same thing. It wasn't so much that they were, you know, Moses wasn't asking for a wish list. Just give me the facts. Just give me the facts.
Yeah.
But what did Caleb say? He says, yeah. But we can take them. We can take them.
Right.
We can take the land. We can go forward. And we need to have a conquering spirit.
That's right.
You know, we need to be able to go into the land and not have a blind faith to saying, okay, I'm gonna step out on nothing. You're never stepping out on nothing. It may appear that way, but you're not never stepping out on nothing. You're just stepping out. You're stepping out on God's truth.
That's right. On the
you're
word
stepping
of God.
Out on God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You're stepping out on what God has said. You're stepping out on God what He is saying, and you're stepping out on all the testimonies of how God has continually shown Himself strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're stepping out on. And you start partaking of that and say, you know what? We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this. Yeah, there may be giants in the land, but greater is He that who lives in me than he who lives in the world. And we have to, you know, recognize, are we going to have the fear of man or we're going to have the fear of God? And are we going to be like Hebrews says, are we going to be those that shrink back are destroyed, or are we going to be those that move on and conquer in faith?
That's right.
You know, if God said it, then He's going to do it.
That's settled.
And if God is with you, if God is with you,
mm-hmm.
you're hearing His voice. Who can be against you? Who can be against you? God is looking. He's looking for a people that are willing to take the land for Him, that are willing to go on the front lines like the Dietrich Bonhoeffers, that are willing to go on the front lines like these two women in Iran that distributed 20,000 Bibles and spent 259 days in prison. He's looking for people that will lay down their life and advance His kingdom. Will He find one in you?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Military chaplains' prayers under fire? defending prayer in the military. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
And I'm a military chaplain, and just received a briefing from our chief of chaplains that our commanding general had talked to a JAG officer and recommended that from now on when we pray at drills that we don't use the name of Jesus in our prayers.
I will tell you this. We've gotten a resolution at the Air Force level where you're not being told how to pray. That has not made its way through all the other branches. We're working on that. It is a big issue for us. Anthony, hang on the line here. I'm getting in touch with some of our legal staff, and we'll get right on your situation. But it is something that we are still working on. We've had good news so far, but we are not done with this battle yet.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to, because right. It fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions. Mm. Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this. Mm-hmm. They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
And I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God. Mm-hmm. Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God. Mm-hmm. You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Here we are. There is hope. We're starting to see some things stir. I believe that a prophetic word is about to be loosed over America, where the Christians are going to reboot and reset themselves and position ourselves. And minimum force will be necessary, but God will apply it to us all. That'll bring us to a point of looking up and turning to God. And if you look at history, everything started in a garden with a murder scene. Mm-hmm. So people go, this is the worst it's ever been. No, we just have media reporting every 5 seconds about how bad we are, how bad the sin nature is. I mean, there's a camera everywhere. You needed to live like you're on camera. So if you happen to see me on the beach, oh my goodness. Anyway, so
anyway.
But there's hope. There's just hope. And I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet found a body of believers, a gathering of ones that are hearing from the Lord and desiring to position ourselves before God for this day, for this season, let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Gulf Coast region, you need to begin to come and seek out Vine Fellowship Network, this dream center that's being developed, an apostolic center to be able to be one of the foundational parts of the many parts that are in America to be able to turn the nation around. But if you can't, if you're not close geographically, you need to begin to join us virtually and join with all the virtual members that are joining us and listening and staying in tune, because we can stay together. There's so many different ways to connect today through VFN TV, VFN Radio, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on VFN Radio, a live broadcast from a prophetic word just coming out that moment in time. From the VFN Dream Center, you need to catch it, be a part of what's going on. There's hope, but you got to get under a message of hope. You got to understand your part. When I read about Dr. Carson's book in America the Beautiful, that the thing, the consistent theme throughout his book, which is really good, but you got to get it. He concludes with this. He says, "But one of the greatest travesties is it's obviously paraphrasing it, is the economic injustices that are taking place. That you can have the same expectations of me, but you never gave me the same opportunities. That you're complaining about my economic status, but you didn't let me go to good schools. You had separate but equal going on, and all of a sudden now I was in a lesser funded school. My mother works harder probably than most other people, you know, he would say. But still, because there was no pay, there was an unjust scale of pay, they had to live in certain, and his father just left them early on. Hardworking mother. But it put them in the economic place. In the neighborhood that they were in a neighborhood that people were treated unjustly based on the color of their skin. They were automatically stereotyped. You know, the spirit of racism kept them in an environment that was oppressive to his friends and his friends' friends. And he lost his friends because so many people in America don't have a grid for growing up. I mean, your neighbors are your neighbors. Mm-hmm. You know, you shop where you shop. You don't get to pick those things. And if you just happen to be in a neighborhood where there's inequality taking place in there, I mean, that's where you got to grow up. So some people can casually go home from school, and some people got to run home from school.
Man.
Right?
Absolutely.
Concord Drive and all. The way that we can bring justice to America is to bring give everybody an economic fair chance in our economy, which means all. And another thing that was brought up, I don't think he brought this up, but I thought was pretty interesting. As long as we base school funding off property taxes, then the less advantaged kid that lives inside of someone else's house,
right,
will always have a low funded school. This is just something that came over and I was listening to, and I'm like, that makes really good sense. I think it was, it was in Harlem. They were talking at the Apollo, I think, and they had several authors, and it's about the reading situations and some radicals and some non-radicals. I like to listen to all the viewpoints. But the truth is, as long as you base it off property taxes, that's how your books are going to be built, how your school is going to be built, and how your buses are going to be there, and how security is going to be there. You know, and I'm living in some apartment building, you know, and my school's never going to be funded the way yours is funded, because you're living in some penthouse and some suburbs, and you know, and you're living in I mean, I don't know if you ever watched the Discovery Channel on these houses that people buy. It's like you're living in a $1.2 million house.
Wow. Houses? Have you seen the tree houses that they have made?
Yeah.
I mean, the tree houses.
And I'm thinking, you know, so you think of, okay, a percentage off your $1.2 million house there in Southern California, you know, one bedroom house. And you're paying in school taxes there. But then you go to the Bronx or you go to, I don't know, Patterson or I don't know, I can't think. You know,
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. And it's just not there. The money's not there under that kind of. Mm-hmm. And you think the fairest thing in America, I mean, everybody has to do it, is they have to pay sales tax. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be cool if everybody was paying for their own education and everybody was contributing to education? I mean, the fairest thing, I mean, I'm not promoting anything or anything like that. But it'd be cool that if instead of lotteries, that's what we've gotten to, right? We got to lotteries. Instead of thinking like, I don't want a sales tax, let's just do gambling. Gambling's how we're going to educate our kids.
That'll work,
you know. And so, but even the kid himself,
sure,
would pay towards his own education. Mm-hmm. When he goes and buys his PlayStation 2. He also paid for part of that book he's going to read.
That's right.
Wow.
Or that teacher that he's going to teach him. Mm-hmm. You know, and this also relieves the burden of the homeowner, property owner, having to pay for everything in the context of that. But in turn, they would have to pay, you know, the same sales tax, sure, and help. And then more people. And if you're contributing, it's amazing when your kids start to put money in the pot, how much more involved they are and how it functions. Mm. But prior to them putting anything in, having an investment, have some skin in the game, as Dr. Right. Ben Carson says in his book, America the Beautiful, it just helps us out. We have a little skin in the game. Mm-hmm. He gets one comparison about how to handle medical, he's a doctor, he's a brain surgeon. Right. Can you imagine a presidential debate?
Well,
you decided, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to run for president.
Oh my gosh.
You finally got enough nerve, enough people lied to you and said you're the right person.
Right.
You know, and you're fixing to run. And next thing you know, you find out you're going to be debating a brain surgeon. Can you imagine?
You're in trouble, buddy.
You are in trouble. You talk for 1 hour and he looks at you and just kind of turns his head sideways and the devil just attacks you going, oh my goodness. You thinking I'm so stupid? A brain surgeon. Anyway, so... He said, you know, he said, take food stamps, for example, is what he said, that you have electronic money transferred to a card, a SNAP card or something, and he called it food stamps, and you get an allotted amount of money every month. Well, you can go that first 2 or 3 days of getting that allotted amount of money, and you can go buy porterhouse steaks, you can buy all this different kind of stuff, but you're going to suffer for the rest of that month.
That's right.
Realizing that you're going to have to think better and plan better and how to spread this food. And so you find out that that particular mother will become intensely involved in how she's going to spread that finance herself out over a 30-day period. And she will buy a lesser quality of this, or she'll instead of buying all this prefab food, she'll buy flour and sugar and water or whatever, and she'll make these things and they'll eat well. But she would have thought that whole month out.
If
she has an allotted amount of money, and that that involved her in the process, she pays the consequences, or he pays the consequences, and his family pays the consequences as they blow that whole allotted amount of money, mm-hmm, that month. And I'm not talking about food stamps. I'm talking about that's his analogy of it, you know, mm-hmm, Dr. Ben Carson's analogy of it, but it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-mm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason at all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
I love VFN Radio. You know, yeah. When I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever. And just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. But then he says, you know, begin to think about that if we did medical the same way, you know, and that the medical expenses were were given out in that same way, where everybody goes to the emergency room for everything. For everything. Right. And it's like, this is a huge bill. Nothing gets solved in an emergency room. Emergency room is about patching you up, sending you out. And if there was a lot amount of money, then we would go to one of these clinics, these medical clinics from the same hospital, to see a doctor who would help us up, patch us up, but also cure us from whatever it was. And it would cost a smidgen of what it would cost to go to the emergency room. So that individual would say, listen, we have a lot amount of money available for our medical treatment, for our family. We need to make wiser decisions with it.
That's right.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden now, people are thinking about where they're spending their money at.
Right.
But then he says, you know, then you have, you know, a child that is born and it needs prenatal care. It's premature. The insurance companies are being issued $1 million bill for that one child. $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the insurance companies are bracing themselves, what they're doing, and they're everybody's taking on this huge, and you can't calculate how many babies are going to be born that are premature, how many people's not going to walk out their pregnancy right, how many people's doing things they shouldn't do when they're pregnant, and how many people just naturally end up having a child this way. Either way, every child's going to be taken care of, and they can't predict that. Therefore, they just crank up the rates. And so he talked about, and I love the fact that he's wanting to challenge these things. You know, what about, and I love the idea, let's figure out how to take care of everybody and move catastrophic things such as that, to that would be a government thing. You think, well, how could that work? And he brings up FEMA. If FEMA wasn't a reality in America, insurance companies would crank our rates up so high, it would be ridiculous. And they would say, you know, who's going to insure you for the earthquake? Who's going to insure you for the massive hurricanes? It's governmental. That is catastrophic disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And now what about catastrophic FEMA in the medical arena that helps? And he says the reason why is because now the insurance companies can begin to be regulated and they can calculate, and I don't know what the word they use, but
risk assessment.
Yeah, risk assessment. It's a very predictable risk assessment now.
Actuaries.
Yes, actuaries. And it's very predictable. And so that means they can be overseen, like your local power company's overseen, like your water company's overseen. And they can be overseen. And then it's affordable for the average American. And you know that, quote, that we said in our concept of a country that if a hurricane hits you, if an earthquake hits you, and if a catastrophic disease or illness or terminal situation, something hits you that's considered catastrophic, that we have, what we did in our government is something set up to catch you.
That's brilliant, because that way you're...
It's
absolutely brilliant. Now you can, like you said, hold them accountable, because now they can. There's a risk that they can actually calculate. It takes all that other stuff that they can't calculate out the window.
Right.
And it's more fair rates for everybody.
Right. And so, I mean, I was just some things.
That's
like
smart. That's
at
really
some
good.
Point, we got to start solving the problems. And but there is one continual thing throughout his analogy of things, you know, that is God, but also sacrifice that is going to require. This is a doctor. This is somebody that struggled through school. And I believe it was Harvard that he was going through, and the medical school after Harvard, I think it was. Mm. And he had to study from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. He realized that, hey, I was failing this thing because I just don't, boring lectures doesn't help me.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like 7 hours of lectures a day as a doctor he had to go through.
Wow.
And he says it's like learning multiple languages at the same time.
Mm.
You know, and we haven't even perfected English. So
right.
And so what he made a strategic decision that he was just going to cut all those lectures out. But he also noticed in this evaluation prior to that, when he was making this decision, that he did well in the classes that he read.
Mm.
So what he chose to do, well, that's my strength. This other thing's my weakness. I can't learn that way. He decided to spend those 7 hours in reading about what they lectured about. And now look who he is today. I'm a brain surgeon who deals with the micro, you know, neuron, whatever, in the brains. I mean, it's just down to the minute things. We got to make tough decisions. I mean, that was a huge sacrifice he had to make personally. And you've got to read this book. If you have not read America the Beautiful with Dr. Ben Carson, you need to be able to read it.
It will challenge you. I think we need to start groups in your community that just take it a chapter at a time, and it'll begin to get you to think outside the box and cause you to be knowledgeable enough to be able to ask those people who are asking your permission to represent you in government intelligible questions that causes them to think about, if I'm going to go to D.C., if I'm going to go to a state capital, I need to go there with a mindset that I'm going to solve problems, not to cause problems. I'm not going there to extend problems. Mm. I'm going there to stop them. I'm going there to serve the people. And if I can't, why run for a leadership position if you can't lead? You know, and it's our responsibility as American citizens, because it's government by the people and for the people, that we need to educate ourselves in a way that, hey, at least learn from those who put the time into doing that, so we can ask intelligent questions to those that are running for office. They can respond back to us. And based on that, we can say, man, this person really gets it. They're willing to look to new ideas. They're willing to build a consensus of people. And it's just very, very encouraging. If you get a chance, read America the Beautiful by Dr. Ben Carson.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying, because yeah, I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives. And we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Hello, hello.
I was talking more about the Ford thing, not necessarily
the Ford.
Any kind of
Ford?
Yeah, the Ford F-150 low overhead type
head thing.
Bump, blood sacrifice.
Okay.
That's
scenes that I just think we just had another one up under the studio
up?
Because
oh,
the studio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're gonna have to put pads around him.
I'm telling
just
you,
pads.
Yeah. Hey, whatever.
He's so intelligent that sometimes he just disconnects from all things.
Totally.
And the world just bumps into him.
He's totally
and he's
intelligent.
Shocked.
He's just shocked. No, disconnected. What was that? That was a wall, Pat. That was a wall.
Careful, careful.
It could be all that stuff you spoke over me. I'm not sure. I don't know.
You know, I've been trying to break all this stuff. I've been watching it come to pass.
I think it's trying to break you. I'm not sure.
I know. Scary thought.
Anybody see my keys?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The wisdom moment for today, and of course, as we said earlier, wisdom is knowledge properly applied. I mean, God is wisdom. But I'm reading the proverb from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. It reads, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us and let us lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole, like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our house with plunder. Cast lots with us, and we'll all share in this loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood, and how useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it." Mm. And it's like today, when you hear us talk about, it's just business. Mm. This is the very first proverb in the book of Proverbs talking about ill-gotten gain. I mean, you can take the first part of what I was reading slowly to you and say, you know what? That sounds like somebody trying to get me in this particular business deal. Mm. But you got to ask the right questions. Is it legal? Are we bilking people here? Are we taking advantage of them? Are we asking for exorbitant prices that's unfair? When we finish this business transaction, will they be worse off than they were in the beginning, or will they be blessed because of the encounter that took place? Well, these guys would say, it doesn't matter. We're going to do these folks in. Don't you understand? We don't even care if their blood is let over this. We don't even care. We'll hide out and we'll wait for them to come and we'll rob them. I mean, think about all the people today and the mindset. This is ill-gotten gain, money gotten in a way that was ill. It was wrong in the way that it was gotten. You may be working with a company or a business. You may have a business. But it's dawned on you at some point that this is not right. But maybe you're doing like so many people are doing today. But I got to have a job. I mean, I got to have an income. Mm. But understand, God is not pleased and will not bless and will not accept you oppressing people your entire life just so you can have milk on your cereal. He'd rather you have a crumb of bread and be struggling for your existence than to make 100 people struggle for their existence and have a crumb of bread because you took their money through ill-gotten ways. Ill-gotten gain. So many people are wanting to make money on money and all these other kind of things going on. And it's like the church has totally slipped the whole concept of going like, we got to care about folks. We got to care about folks. We shouldn't be thinking like how we can have, if our poorest people are richer than 80% of the world, that means the majority of America is richer probably than 5 or 3% of the world. And it's like, we got to be careful. How are we managing that which God has given to us? And how you do business matters. It matters how you do business. It matters if you're not being upfront and you got such small print that you know that lady can't read that small print, and you just kind of brush over that fact. You should just lay it out there. Trust God. Lay everything out there. Let them know what's going on and let them make a decision. But don't be hiding things and putting things in contracts that people can't find, you know, and don't make money off other people's losses. It's not okay. It's not okay if you see people that are, I mean, we think about it, you know, what we've done in America and a lot of states now, maybe every state, that we decided to pay for our education with monies that come from gambling, from lotteries. So you have these folks who are struggling, trying to make a living, and they just have a couple of dollars, and I want to get some hope, and they start paying money into the education for your kid in hopes that they might get some winning pot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, just one or two win. But everybody, you know, makes money off that ill-gotten gain. And that person, the majority of those folks, needed that money. They had this hope. And it's like, we're making money. We're educating our kids on ill-gotten gain. Let me think about it. Why don't we just pay for what we want, what we're using? Why do we have to manipulate people to the point where we stir their false hopes up and say, we'll take them, we'll spread this net out here called the state lottery, and they'll all play it. And, you know, one out of 1 million people will get something out of it, and everybody else will take their money and we'll educate our kids with it. I mean, that's ill. You know, it's like, why don't we just pay for our kids' education? Why don't we just tax the appropriate amount of money? Why do we have to bilk people? You know what I'm saying? Why do we have to bilk people? Now, if we didn't tie that into education, and there was a lottery going on, well, that's just people playing a lottery or whatever. But we're actually educating our kids based off somebody's
loss.
It's a big difference. And complaining about how things are done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many business deals? How many people take advantage of people? And I talk about it quite often, called the deal. And people just brag about the deal they got. And it's like, but how do they, can I talk to the other person in this deal? How do they feel?
Right.
Well, you know, they just should have asked the right questions. They didn't ask the right questions. Mm. Well, you should have volunteered all that. But when you openly talk about these things, you're trusting God. When you hide them, you're trusting your own ways. And this way, it would be ill-gotten increase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's perfect. We're not seeing things work out well. But if you intentionally are laying in wait to take that which belongs to another, that's ill-gotten gain. And what he says about that, very specifically, he says, and he's telling us, the wisdom says, my son, don't go along with them. Don't even set your foot on the paths. For their feet rush into evil. They're swift to shed blood. It's amazing how many people don't care that the widow woman's bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care that she can't pay her light bill because of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Predatorial lending taking place. Ma'am, just put a mortgage on your house. Put a mortgage on it just so you can get a 2% bonus on your check while she's wrapped with a 20-year mortgage that she couldn't afford.
And the house that she's going to lose.
And then here comes Mr. Reverse mortgage dude, and all of a sudden he's going to wrap her up for the rest of her life and own her house the moment she goes on to be with the Lord.
Mm.
Then you have the little small clause in it that says, and some of those, that if she doesn't pay her taxes, you take it anyway, even when she's alive. And it's like, what have we come to?
Mm-hmm.
What have we come to? Listen, God is the provider. All things come from God. We're not perfect. You're not going to have what everybody else has. You're going to have what God's given you. It could be more, it could be less, but you can be satisfied with what God has given you. If you honor God with what he's given you with the first fruits, if you just say, Lord, I acknowledge you're the one that gave me this increase. You're the one that blessed the work of my hands. We quite often call that the tithe, but it's the first fruits of it, and give it to God and say, God, here, thank you for what you've given me. God said, I'll pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. You don't have to be scamming everybody and dueling people and have this ill-gotten gain. Begin to follow God. Today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 1. verse 10 through 19. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let us lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive, like the grave, and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Mm. Cast lots with us, and we'll all share in the money and the stuff and the things. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set your foot on their path, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all to go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. When we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God, and then in families, really family. You know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house, and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this, he said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of
of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and to that we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation. And it's an exciting thing. The Vine Seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine Seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org.